Welcome everyone to another episode of our B2B Startup Sales Podcast. My name is Patrick and I am very happy to welcome Katharina Göppinger. She is Head of Sales Strategic Client Switzerland for IBM. Welcome Katharina, nice to have you here today.
Hi Patrick, same here. Looking forward to our session today.
Me too. So let's dive right in. You prepared two tactical tips that our listeners could use right after this session. And I hand over to you and you can start with the two tips.
Okay, yeah, thank you. So for me, I think it's two main points to be successful in sales. Always be closing. You might know that sentence from a movie. So that's the first one. You should always have a closing plan, how to close your sale. And the second one is listening, but maybe more on that later on.
Perfect. So that's a bit unusual because ABC, I'd expect something differently from when somebody says ABC. And I'm like, wait, that was 20 years ago, right? No, but I like the closing plan. So let's talk about that. What exactly is a closing plan and how do we go about compiling one?
Yeah, so I believe that as a sales, it's super important to have a plan from the beginning. So usually you would start the other way around, right? You start off talking to clients, listening, as I mentioned, as my second point. But then at a certain stage, I believe it's important how to bring your sale to a finish line. And that brings me to a closing plan where that is basically planning your sale from the finish line. So imagine the signature of the client. Who is signing? Is it one person? Is it two people? Who is it from your team who needs to sign? Are they available? Like, really put down a date where you feel like, hey, on 20th of December this year, you want to sign on your side and on their side. What tool do you sign in? In today's times, right, is it a physical signature or is it an e-signature? And then before that, does the client need approvals internally? Does it go through a board? When is that board meeting? Because clients might not always have every day or every week a board meeting. Okay, put down the date of the board meeting. What is needed in front of that? So what comes before the board meeting? Who on your side needs to approve different things? So it's basically really planning step by step, but from behind, not going forward.
So it sounds like a very, very structured approach, right? What is your first question comes to mind? It's a lot that you need to know from your prospects, basically, like all these things that you just mentioned, who is going to sign, when is this board meeting, that you need to know. So when do you start with the closing plan? Is that you try to get that information in the first meeting with the customer, which is probably very unlikely to get all that information?
Yeah, no, definitely not. I think that's why I also said, let me have my second point with listening. So I think that that'll definitely come rather at the end of the sale, because I feel like the first couple of meetings, it's all about listening. You're not going to sell at all to a client. Like, it's purely about listening and understanding what the client really wants, really needs, coming up with a solution together. But once you agree on a solution that helps your client to solve their problems, once you agree on that solution and also in a closing plan, because after you agree on the solution might come the negotiation phase, right? But you might also want to agree, how long do we negotiate on certain things? Because you can negotiate for months, but you both probably don't want that, because the client might have a project plan when they want to start with the project. So you need to keep in mind, yeah, the client wants to go live with that. We need, I don't know, 3 weeks to set that up. So dear client, in order to be ready by January 15th, we need 2 weeks to set that up. We need our people. So you need to sign by December 20th in order to be ready mid of January in order to see the return on investment that you're expecting by a certain date. Every date that you sign later, your return on investment comes later, etc. So that's why, yeah, definitely you wouldn't talk about the closing plan in the first meeting.
All right. Are you, so when you say basically after the customer has seen the solution, you agreed on the solution, and then basically go into the phase of negotiation or paperwork and all that stuff. How often does it happen that you lose customers afterwards, after they already kind of agreed on a solution? Does that even happen still?
Tough to say. I would say, hey, once you agree, no, because I think that should also be in the closing plan, that you might think about what risks do you might still have on your side, but also on the client side. And that's why I believe it's a really it's a partnership in between the clients and myself, and a really open, transparent communication. Because once we agree, we basically agree we want to do that. We want to do that together. And then let's be transparent and open what is needed on my side and on their side to make that happen. Because once we agreed, we are all in to make that project work for the client. And then it's an open, transparent communication.
Yeah, so I guess the main purpose of the closing plan, especially for you as a team leader, is to know exactly when the deal is going to be signed, and you can basically put it in into the revenue plan. Is that the main purpose?
Well, that might be the purpose of a salesperson, yes, but I think it's also really important to a client to understand that, because once you come to that phase of you agree on something, you should have talked about what goal does the client have in terms of return on investment or a project deadline that they're having, because ultimately you're solving a challenge of a client. So in order to meet the value or the benefit that you propose to the client, that is the plan needed to make that happen. And it doesn't, in the end, I said 20th of December, right? If it's then the 21st or if it's the 10th of December, but it's good if you have like certain milestones that you agree on to calculate the benefit in the end or whatever to make that project work.
Yeah. It also very much fits into a quote or a philosophy that I've heard that I really like. It's don't try to sell, but help your customers buy. And I guess sometimes they just don't know how the process looks like, and they also don't really know, you know, what steps to go through. So they are appreciating probably very much that you supporting them and go there, have your sheet ready and say, hey, let's go through these points. When we do that, you are sure that, you know, you can plan very well. You know what to do, you know the steps, and we know as well. So it's basically a win-win situation.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that definitely makes sense with that don't sell, because once you agreed, right, it's a solution focus where you talk about what needs to happen to make that work. And then it's, because I think that's so important, listening and asking questions. And once you do that, really strict also with the closing plan, you understand each other's processes. Otherwise, you're assuming, hey, it's just one person that signs. You're assuming they have all their approvals. You assume, hey, they have the budget. But asking all these questions that you need for a closing plan makes sure that you really make that project work together.
Yes, okay, understood. Now, I like the word assuming, or actually I don't like it in sales, and I like you mentioned it, because we both know that a lot of salespeople also, I'm also guilty, obviously, assume stuff. You know, I assume he likes it, I assume he's interested, I assume, or maybe I've heard he said, yes, I'm interested, and then they assume they're gonna buy in 2 days with double the price because they said, they're interested. So let's get to the second point. That brings me to the second point, listening. And we refer to a specific model that's not just usable for sales, I guess, the GROW model that we want to talk about. Can you explain us what the GROW model is and in what situations we can use it?
Yeah, so the GROW model comes from coaching. And that's something I'm a big fan of as well, which really focuses on listening. And there, I think it's great if every salesperson would go through one of these coaching sessions. So the GROW model basically says G stands for goal, R for reality, O for opportunity, and W for will. And usually I think it's easiest to explain that model with a concrete example. So with that, I would probably ask you, hey, Patrick, is there a certain challenge or something that you currently struggle with? Because it's definitely, and it can be an example in whatever you're currently struggling with in your personal life or in the business world. So it's applicable wherever. Is there something that you currently have in mind that we could use it for?
Yes. I'd have two things and you can choose which one is better or what can you. So one thing is we don't get applications in Berlin or in Germany for sales positions. And the other one is I'm not sure, or I want to understand when it comes to all the Salesforce and HubSpot, and we got a lot of technology. We're at the beginning now at Unique, and I don't know if we need some consultants right now who help us to set this up first, because I don't want to spend too much time with this. So I'm quite unsure. So we can choose one of the two, actually, so that we can role play this.
Well, I think both of them would make sense, but why don't we take the first one, as this is a podcast in sales, right? And maybe we have a few listeners that are also struggling with getting salespeople. So your goal is basically to find salespersons in Berlin.
Yes, I want two SDRs and two account executives, but two SDRs first so that we can generate outbound leads. And as soon as we have them, a few weeks after, we can get account executives. And we posted on LinkedIn so far, and compared to Switzerland, I hired already the 5 people for Switzerland. Compared to Switzerland, in Germany, nothing, not much is happening.
Okay. Yeah. And see, there we are already diving in a bit in the next phase in the R for reality. So where are you at right now in terms of that goal?
Yeah. So right now, yeah, we don't have anything. So we, as I said, with the LinkedIn, LinkedIn post, haven't done much. Otherwise, I talked to one or two hiring agencies, but didn't push that further for now.
Okay, so you've tried LinkedIn, as I understood. What else have you tried?
Nothing else.
Then what else could you try?
Well, I guess agencies we could try. Recruiters, basically. What we also could try, I guess, is finding people on LinkedIn and build an email campaign to target people, to target salespeople from similar companies. So I could search on LinkedIn Sales Navigator, for those who know, similar accounts to Unique, and I could probably get out a few SDRs and AEs and write to them directly. That's something I could try. Maybe some postings, some job postings elsewhere other than LinkedIn, I guess, would also be an option.
Yeah. And what are you thinking of other than LinkedIn? What other platforms or channels?
Yes, I'm thinking of Lionstep. Lionstep is a Swiss startup. Well, there are already 70 or 80 people. They are helping with hiring, but with a platform, more a platform approach rather than a recruitment approach. So it's much cheaper. I looked into that, and I could think that this might be interesting for us. And yeah, I guess the problem is becoming so such a priority. You know, at the beginning, it's like the first 2 weeks, it's like, no need for acting right now, not need for acting impulsively right now, just wait a little bit more. And then now it's big enough. Maybe I'm also doing the campaigning, the campaigns. But I'm waiting for the technology there. We implement technology on Monday. And with that tool, I probably could do that.
Okay. Well, those are some great ideas already, right? So anything else that you feel like you could try, anything in your network, Berlin, any other out of the box ideas?
Oh yes, a network is a good hint. So I know Max Breckbill from Germany. He is a recruiter. I need to talk to him.
Good idea.
Guy, actually, yeah. Dirk Schuran is also a Rainmaker Society. He's also a hiring expert in Berlin, actually. So I need to talk to him as well.
Okay. Anybody else?
No. No, not right now. Maybe need to think a bit more.
Okay. Any other idea?
I guess that's it.
And those have been a lot of ideas already, right? So then now it comes to the question, hey, the W, what are you willing to do? So what are you going to do first? Like, if I understood you correctly, hey, LinkedIn, other channels, you mentioned a few colleagues in your network. Which of these three options are you going to do first?
So I'm going to talk to Max and to Dirk first, and then I set up a meeting with Lionstep, another one I will set up, and I will wait on Monday and maybe and start a campaign on Monday.
And when will you talk to Max, or until when?
Until mid next week.
Okay, sounds like a plan.
Pick up the phone and start dialing. I will call him right now. Thank you.
So let's put him in the podcast. So Max, right? No, but I think that was a perfect example. Now, I don't know if you realized, but I didn't give you any tip. Like, I could have potentially said, hey, yeah, I know this guy and I could help you with that. Or because that is usually, if you think about when you talk to your friends and you mention that problem to your friend, they give you advice. But actually, you're the expert of your challenge or of your problem, and you have tried already certain things, but you might just need somebody that helps you with a framework, like grow, to somehow structure it. And I didn't give you any tip, I just asked questions and you came up with certain things. But then also important, that last phase with that will. So what are you going to do until when? Because you might come up with 20 ideas, but you might not, and I don't want to be the one telling you what to do. You need to be the one that says, I'm going to call Max until next week, Wednesday.
Yes, I like that approach. I like that approach. Also, you secretly brought in some little tip, like what about with your network? And that's also something we do in sales as well. You know, we know use cases from our existing customers, and we tell, after we went through this, we say, what about this? Is that also something that you could find interesting? And like with a question, though, I really like the approach. I definitely like them. It must work also for relationship, doesn't it? I mean, you know, when I could imagine.
Yeah, I think so, because you're asking, hey, what is your goal? Here, I could have, and you can spend a lot more time in each of the phases. Because for the goal, and I just assumed now, hey, yeah, you need a salesperson. I could have asked, what do you need that salesperson for? But you already mentioned that with you need two SDRs and account managers and et cetera. Otherwise, I would have asked, so what kind of sales? What is your, why do you need a sales? What does that salesperson need to do? And that's what you can do in sales as well, right? The customer tells you something, but you want to ask first, hey, what is the underlying goal? Ask 3-4 whys, but why? Why do you want to do that? Et cetera.
Yes, I like, and that was because that I said that because in relationships, I guess sometimes, you know, somebody just has a problem and comes to you but wants to talk about it, and I think especially men, I don't want to stereotype. Well, I always when you do that, and then but I am stereotyping because men, I feel like, are coming with solutions and they want to give a solution, and but it very seldomly helps. I mean, first of all, listen, and then maybe ask some question that the other person gets to the solution herself or himself.
That's why listening and asking questions is so important, because you could have asked that question, do you want my advice or you just want me to listen for right now? And then the other person can tell you, well, I just want to explain about it. I don't want to hear about any solution. Let me just get it out. And you know, okay, I shouldn't give advice. Let me just listen. Or that person tells you, hey, no, I want advice. Like, what should I do?
Okay, but you ask the question directly as well. So you'd ask, hey, do you want advice or do you want me to listen? I like. Speak the untold. That's cool. Now, one last thing, Katarina, because we are quite far ahead already. There are not enough women in sales. We both know, right? Not sure why. Maybe you have some advice on that. Or actually, first of all, like, you studied mathematics, right? How did you get into sales?
Well, I think that's a funny story. And I think that might also help to have more women in sales, because I had that typical salesperson, I don't know, from cars, car dealerships, or an insurance person in mind that wants to sell you something. And I thought, well, I studied mathematics, what do I do in sales? But I just tried it. So there was a trainee program at IBM. So I just tried it. I said, why not? Let's try it out. And I think you already talked about it in a couple of in a podcast before, that it seems like sales is not so much known in the German-speaking area or in Europe, and much more in the US. So I studied in the US, and then, well, I just tried it. And now I have to say, hey, I love it, because sales is nothing about, especially in the tech sector, I'd say, in IT, it's nothing about going there and telling your customer what they should buy. It's a lot around listening, bringing people together, listening, understanding, and then, yeah, as I mentioned, bringing the right people together. And I think that's why I love it. And that's why I would also encourage a lot of women to just try it out, just go there, because I think we women are really good listeners. So, and have the empathy that is needed in sales to understand what that person is actually telling you, trying to understand it, and then come up with a solution or the right people helping that client.
Love it. Yeah, I would have agreed with this. Women are better listeners, or are very good listeners, empathetic. And please, for all the women out there, follow Katarina's advice. Just try it out. Get into sales. You can apply via SalesMith or Katarina directly. She's also looking for salespeople. And here we go. That's the chance to get into a function or into a job that for me also has been very, very rewarding so far. And as I understand you, Katarina, is the same.
Yes, love it. So love working in tech, love working with people there, love working in sales. So looking forward to people that are always be closing, that are listening and applying at IBM or with you, Patrick. In Berlin, right? So I think my network, go out there and apply at Patrick, and then Patrick's network, if you want to work for a big tech company,
yes,
apply at IBM.
I like. Great closing words, Katarina. Thank you for joining the episode. It was a pleasure. And thanks for sharing your expertise.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too. And have a nice holiday.
Thank you. Bye. I'm going to go to the next one.